2. We're going to see this reference that our Savior speaks so glowingly about. Mark chapter 12, verse 35. You'll remember I told you that it's found in Matthew 22, Mark 12, and Luke chapter 20. Each gospel gives us details, not in the other gospel. But this is enough to refresh our memories. Matthew 12, verse 35. Mark 12, 35. And Jesus answered and said as he taught in the temple, how say the scribes, now these scribes are the professional interpreters of the book, they are the theologians, how say the scribes that the Messiah, the Christ, the anointed one, that the Christ is the son of David? David himself saith, in the Holy Spirit, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand, till I make thine enemies the footstool of thy feet. David himself calleth him Lord, and whence is he his son? And the common people heard him gladly. Please notice, it says that David said, and it says that David in the Holy Spirit said, and in Luke it tells us, David in the book of Psalms said. All right, notice carefully, what did David in the Holy Spirit say? The Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand, till I make thine enemies the footstool of thy feet. Now, turn to Psalm 110. Because this is what David said in the Spirit. Psalm 110. Let me read the whole psalm to you, but dwell at length on the first three verses. What is so remarkable about this psalm, and this is why this morning I chose the portion I did concerning Christ, is because this psalm is quoted in the book of Hebrews, and two other places it's quoted, both of them from this psalm. Now listen to it. Psalm 110. And notice the heading. If you have a Bible that's full, you'll not only have the psalm, but what they call the heading of the psalm. And it tells us a psalm of David. Now, the psalm. The Lord, Jehovah, saith unto my Lord, Adonai, two Hebrew words, sit thou on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. You say, that's what the Lord quoted. Yes. So listen to it again. This is what David said in the Holy Spirit. The Lord saith unto my Lord, sit thou at my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. Now, listen. The Lord will send forth the rod of thy strength out of Zion. Rule thou in the midst of thine enemies. Thy people offer themselves willingly in the day of thy power, in the beauty of holiness, or in holy array. Out of the womb of the morning, thou hast the dew of thy youth. Now listen to it again, verse 3. Thy people offer themselves willingly in the day of thy power, in holy array. Out of the womb of the morning, thou hast the dew of thy youth. The Lord hath sworn and will not repent. Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Now, this is what we've been reading Wednesday night after Wednesday and studying Saturday mornings. This portion. The Lord hath sworn and will not repent. thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. The Lord at thy right hand will strike through kings in the day of his wrath. He will judge among the nations. He will fill the places with dead bodies. He will strike through the head in many countries. He will drink of the brook in the way. Therefore, will he lift up the head. Let us speak to God again in prayer. Our Father, we thank you for this magnificent psalm. We are so glad that the portions of the Old Testament that we would read and wonder about, as the eunuch wondered about as he read the Old Testament, of whom speaketh the prophet this, of himself or another, and your servant opened the scriptures and taught him Jesus. We are thankful, our Father, that the other portions in the Old Testament we would ask, of whom speaketh the prophet this, of himself or another, and thou dost tell us of whom he speaks. We are glad that your Son has told us of whom David spoke, and Peter told us, and Paul told us. We are so glad that we have a threefold cord, yea, more testimonies to this portion of the Word of God, and therefore you brought to our attention its importance. So our Father, let us lay it to heart. Let us treasure it as thy Son did, and all shall be well. Now receive our thanks for the blessings of the day, the temporal blessings, the spiritual blessings. And Father, we would ask thee again, feed us from the scriptures. We confess our sins, be faithful and just to forgive and cleanse, and glorify the name of thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. The only safe interpretation of a portion of the Word of God, speaking absolutely, is one that the Lord Jesus himself interprets for us, or one of his inspired authors in the New Testament interprets for us. That's why it's always good, if you want to speak with much assurance, read something in the Old Testament, and then see what the Lord Jesus says about it in the New Testament, and then you may speak with authority and say, this is the interpretation, because the Savior gives that interpretation. Now, why we are on safe ground is that not once, but three times in the Gospels, this portion is quoted, and then the author of Hebrews quotes it. You'll find Paul quoting it. You'll find Peter quoting it. This is the most often quoted psalm in the New Testament. You have other psalms that are close, but this one is quoted or alluded to again and again. Whenever you have a reference about the Lord Jesus at the Father's right hand, what is alluded to is this scripture. And when it says, sit thou at my right hand till I make thine enemies the footstool of thy feet, it is not an allusion, but a quotation. So remember that whenever you read in the New Testament about the Lord Jesus being at God's, the Father's right hand, understand that the one who is saying that is basing what he says, is alluding to Psalm 110. Now, why I am taking time to tell you in the morning and in the evening about this psalm and about what Christ said about it is to show you the estimate that the Lord Jesus had about the Word of God and had about particular portions of the Word of God. Man would like to tell you that the Scripture is vague and general. It has no specific meaning. Perhaps at the time it meant something personal in their lives about David and the nation of Israel. But the Lord Jesus says this is not the correct interpretation of the Old Testament. Some portions, yes. Some portions that we read that are historical have to do with David and the city of Jerusalem and the nation of Israel. But other portions like this are prophetical, which means that the prophet, enabled by the Spirit of God, is taken in spirit by the Spirit and enabled to see things coming to pass in the distant future. Now, what is so remarkable is that Psalm 110, let us say conservatively, is written 1,000 years before the Lord Jesus comes upon the scene. And yet it speaks of him as not only having come upon the scene, but having lived and died and having been exalted to God's right hand. And the Lord Jesus, before he was ever born, is seen by David as exalted at God's right hand. Thus, David, one of the choice prophets of the Old Testament. And if I ask you, how do I know he's a prophet? You should be able to tell me, because Peter says in Acts chapter 2, David being a prophet or Saul. So a prophet of the Old Testament at one time was called a seer. And the word seer means one who sees. The mind of God, the plan of God, was seen for today, tomorrow, 1,000 years into the future. Just as when we come to the Apostle Peter, he sees the very end of time. He sees the new heavens and the new earth. He sees God's universe on fire. Think of that. This was the privilege of some of the servants of God in the Old and in the New Testament. This is what it says in 2 Peter. It says, no prophecy of Scripture is a private interpretation, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. So the Lord Jesus said that David was moved by the Holy Spirit. Peter tells us how the other prophets in the Old Testament were moved by the Holy Spirit. And because of that, David was able, and this is profound, think now, that only God could give such a vision. But God gave him the vision. And just as God told him in Psalm 139 about himself unformed in the womb, it said that God understood all his days before any of them ever came into existence. Now that is profound. And David was aware that concerning himself, that God knew his down-sitting, his uprising. He knew his thoughts afar off. He knew all his history before David ever came upon the scene. David saw that. And David also saw that the Father knew the history of one that was going to be greater than David himself. He knew his history. He knew his destiny. And here it is speaking of the Lord Jesus at the end of his earthly life. After 3 days in the tomb, and now the Lord Jesus is ascending on high. When he ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. And when he ascended on high, the Father said to him, sit thou at my right hand until I make thine enemies the footstool of thy feet. Now, what is so profound is this, that the same thing that David tells us in Psalm 110, some 1,000 years before it happened. I want you to see this. Keep your place, but turn to Mark chapter 16. Mark chapter 16. In Mark 16, look at verse 19. So, then the Lord Jesus, after he had spoken unto them, was received up into heaven and sat down at the right hand of God. What is written by Mark after the life of Jesus Christ and after the Lord Jesus sat down at God's right hand is prophesied by David 1,000 years before the Lord Jesus came upon the scene. But please notice, they're both saying the same thing. The Lord Jesus is at God's right hand in Psalm 110, prophetically. In Mark 16, the Lord Jesus is at God's right hand. Historically, it has already happened. But Mark 16 is no more correct than Psalm 110 that prophesied of the ascension of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I want to have this threefold cord because we have David prophesying it, we have Mark corroborating that it happened historically. Now, turn to Revelation chapter 3. Revelation 3, and look at verse 20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. He that overcometh, I will give to him to sit down with me in my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father in his throne. This is beautiful. We have David prophetically speaking of Christ sitting at God's right hand. We have Mark historically writing about Jesus Christ sitting at God's right hand. And now we have the Lord Jesus experientially, the one who sat there saying, I overcame and I sat down at God's right hand. What is of the greatest significance is this, that we who believe in the inspiration of the Scriptures believe that Psalm 110, before the Lord Jesus was ever born in Bethlehem of Judea, that what was said of him there was as certain as we read in Mark 16 and in Revelation 3. Anything, if we understood it correctly, that was prophesied in the Old Testament was going to be accomplished and was as certain as we read of it historically, looking back upon it. Mark says he was received into heaven and sat down at God's right hand. He's looking back. And the Lord Jesus said, I overcame and I sat down at my Father's right hand. I sat down on his throne. So what is prophetical is just as true and is just as sure as that which is historical. I want you to have that assurance and to see why. Turn to Matthew 5 now. Matthew chapter 5. Because the interpretation of the Scriptures. Matthew chapter 5. And look at verse 17. Matthew 5:17. Think not that I came to destroy the law or the prophets. I came not to destroy, but to fulfill. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass away, not one jot or one tittle shall in any wise fail or pass away from the law, till all things be accomplished. Please grasp this and base your theology, your interpretation of what inspiration is, upon what Jesus Christ believed about interpretation. The Lord Jesus said, not one jot, not one tittle shall pass away till everything is fulfilled. The Lord Jesus said concerning the Old Testament, David said it in the Holy Spirit. And I could show you also from 2 Samuel chapter 23 that David said, the Spirit of God was in my tongue. I want to read that to you. Turn to 2 Samuel 23. I not only want you to hear it, I want you to see it. And this is what is so marvelous, that we might have thought that David was boasting when he said this in 2 Samuel chapter 23, verse 1. Now these are the last words of David. David the son of Jesse, Seth, and the man who was raised on high, Seth, the anointed of the God of Jacob and the sweet psalmist of Israel. The Spirit of the Lord spake by me, and his word was upon my tongue, the God of Israel said. So please understand that if a man were reading what I read to you from 2 Samuel chapter 23, he may have said, why, this is rather presumptuous for you, David, to say that the Spirit of God spake by you and his word was upon your tongue. The Lord Jesus says the same thing in Mark chapter 12, that David spake by the Holy Spirit, and that David spoke these things concerning the Lord. So what does it mean? It means that just as certain ones in the Old and in the New Testament were empowered by the Holy Spirit of God to see things that you and I have never seen, we have never experienced. They did see them. Isaiah saw one. Consider Isaiah 6. He said, I saw the Lord high and lifted up, sitting upon his throne, and his train filled the temple. I saw the seraphim. I heard them say, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. This is what Isaiah saw. And the Spirit of God took him, and he opened his eyes, and he was able to see what was in heaven. Now, there are some who pretend to see these things today. Such a thing is possible. That the revelations they say they have seen in no way compare with the revelations of those that we have in the Word of God. They are trite. And if you ask them also concerning interpretations of other portions of God's Word, they are at a loss. They cannot tell you these things. And yet, they are constantly saying that they see God. Understand, if they say that, and even if it is false, it does not deny that other men, such as Isaiah, such as David, such as Jeremiah, saw these things. And what is so remarkable is this, that God is able to bring to the eyes of David something that has not yet come into existence. Here is the Lord Jesus, not as yet, the Word become flesh and tabernacling among us. But here David is able to see, and God is able to show him the Lord Jesus sitting at God's right hand. Now this is profound. And David saw this, and he prophesied of it. And that is why when he said, the Spirit of God spake by me, his Spirit was in my tongue, we say, yes, David, this was true. Peter tells us he was a prophet, and he foresaw these things. I will bring this to your attention just to show you how much he saw. David, who wrote Psalm 16, said, thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thy Holy One to see corruption. This he spake concerning the resurrection of Christ. You say, isn't that remarkable? Psalm 22, he hears the Lord Jesus saying, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? David in the Spirit saw the Lord Jesus crucified. He saw the Lord Jesus promised to be raised from the dead. He saw the Lord Jesus raised from the dead at God's right hand. And all of these things that were going to happen in the life of Christ happened in the life of Christ. And the Lord Jesus confirms it and says, David in the Spirit said, sit thou at my right hand till I make thine enemies the footstool of thy feet. Now, if this is so, if the Lord Jesus had this confidence in the Word of God, if his interpretation of Scripture was what I have been giving to you, then what should your interpretation of inspiration be? God forbid that we should ever think that it's just a man saying, oh, so that is it. Or a man as he has an inspiration about an invention. It is something entirely different. And what we have in a way that no man can fully explain, even though it seems so simple, David said, the Spirit of God spake by me, his Spirit was upon my tongue. It seems so simple, and yet, how profound, we are unable to understand it. But what comes out, though spoken by man, though written by man, is the infallible Word of God. And now in Psalm 110, this is what David has seen, and he tells us this. The Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou at my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. What does it mean? It means that he sees two beings in heaven. He sees the Father, and he sees the Son. And he knows that the Son is deity, because he calls him his Lord. And that is what the Lord Jesus is bringing out in the New Testament. Of course, in the Old, as well as in the New, the Lord Jesus is the Son of David. But what is wrong if you are asked, whose son is Jesus? If you say, the Son of David, that answer is incomplete. And an incomplete answer is an erroneous answer. Because I remember a loved one on one occasion challenging me and speaking heatedly to me, Jesus was a man. And I said, indeed, Jesus was a man.
But if you say Jesus is a man, and you do not add, at the same time, he was God, then saying that he was a man is a deception. It misleads you. He was only a man. And when they said, Jesus is the son of David, there's nothing wrong with that if they understand that this son of David was also the root as well as the offspring of David. David had his origin in him, just as the Lord Jesus had his origin in David. And that is why the Savior said, how then and why do the scribes say that Jesus is the son of David, the Messiah is the son of David, when David himself said, the Lord said unto my Lord. So understand that these who are inspired by the Spirit have a conception and an understanding of things that you and I have no grasp of. It's like this. How is it that when Peter and James and John were taken to the Mount of Transfiguration without being introduced, they said, why, there is Moses and there was Elijah. How could they know that? But Peter and James and John knew that Moses and Elijah were talking with the Lord Jesus Christ. And how does David, when he's looking, know that the Lord is speaking to another one who is divine, and this divine one is the promised Messiah? Because the Spirit of God illumined him and enabled him to understand things that, humanly speaking, it was impossible to understand. Now, this is where those whose hearts have not been taught by the Spirit of God will laugh and take us as fools who believe anything like I've been telling you. And yet, it is what we are compelled to believe if we accept the Word of God, because this is the way that the Lord Jesus interpreted it. And they will not deny that. They will say, yes, that's what Jesus said. But I will tell you again some of the things they say. But Jesus was a product of his own environment. Jesus did not know any more than the scribes and the Pharisees had taught him. He knew no more than he learned in the synagogue. He knew all of those things are deceptions. The Lord Jesus was constantly criticizing and correcting the errors of those that surrounded him. He said, how do the scribes say this? They were wrong. Do you understand? The Lord Jesus said, you do err, not knowing the scriptures, nor the power of God. He was constantly correcting what they did and what they said as being wrong. And yet, the critics say, why, he was just a product of his age. He only thought and knew what they did. The Lord Jesus was indeed flesh and blood like his brethren, but he was not a product of the age. And he was not taught by man. He was taught by God. It said that Jesus, when he was in Jerusalem, did not commit himself to certain men, for he knew what was in man, and he needed not that anybody should testify him of man. The Lord Jesus knew our downsitting and our uprising. He knew our thoughts afar off. And so the Lord Jesus is illumined of the Father to tell us these things. And so were Old Testament prophets when they spake by the Spirit. All right. Notice, David has seen this. He sees Jehovah and he sees Adonai. And he understands that both of them are his Lord. And the Father gives this promise to the Son. Sit thou at my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. All right. In the will of God, in the coming weeks, I will give you more details. But right now, understand that between verse 1 and verse 2, some 2,000 years have transpired. You say, how can that be? All right, think. When did the Lord Jesus ascend and sit at the right hand of the Father? You say, why, that was at the end of his earthly life. That was 40 days after his resurrection. That's right. But now, what we have in the rest of the psalm has not as yet begun, and it's not going to begin until the Lord Jesus returns from heaven and establishes his kingdom in Zion. Zion here is Salem, is Jerusalem. And so listen to it in verse 2.
the Lord will send forth the rod of thy strength out of Zion. Rule thou in the midst of thine enemies. The people offer themselves willingly in the day of thy power, in the beauty of holiness, in holy array. This is in contrast to John chapter 1. Listen to John 1. Concerning the Messiah, it says, he came unto his own, and his own received him not. Now listen to this. Look at verse 3. Thy people offer themselves willingly in the day of thy power. You say, well, John 1 says he came unto his own, and his own received him not. That's right. But in the coming day, he's going to come back again unto his own. And it says, thy people offer themselves willingly in the day of thy power. Now remember what the Lord Jesus said in the Garden of Gethsemane. He said, Father, if it be possible, remove this cup from me. And having said that, and having sweat as it were great drops of blood, he was weakened to such a condition that the Father sent an angel from heaven strengthening him. And the Lord Jesus said in the garden, here is Christ in weakness. And in the garden, the Lord Jesus said, this is your hour and the power of darkness. The Lord Jesus was weakened. And I told you from Psalm 102, the Savior said, he weakened my strength in the way. And so in the garden, he was weakened. On the cross, he was weakened. And the Bible says he was crucified through weakness. And the Lord Jesus said concerning his enemies, this is your hour and the power of darkness. So that was then. But now, look again at verse 3. Thy people offer themselves willingly in the day of thy power. And the Lord Jesus had promised that. He had prophesied that his day was coming, and they would see the Son of Man coming in the glory of his Father with all the holy angels. He would come in glory and power and dignity, and that day never transpired. But it is going to transpire, and this is part of that day. Look at it again. The people offer themselves willingly in the day of thy power in holy array. What has happened? If you will read Zechariah 12, 13, and 14, and compare it with the portion that we have here, everything will open up. Because here is the Lord Jesus, not coming to seek and to save that which was lost, but coming to destroy his enemies. And he is not going to do it unassisted. Thy people offer themselves willingly in the day of thy power. Now in Zechariah 12, let's turn to it just a moment. Let's look at it. Zechariah chapter 12. And I will show you how this time that's spoken of in Psalm 110 is the time that's spoken of in Zechariah chapter 12. And I will show you just some of the passages that we're speaking of. Verse 8. In that day, notice carefully, it speaks about the people shall offer themselves willingly in the day of thy power. Now, this is that day. It says, verse 8, in that day shall the Lord defend the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and he that is feeble among them at that day shall be as David. And the house of David shall be as God, as the angel of the Lord before them. Notice, it's not just the Lord, but it's also the house of David. And both of them are strong. Both of them are in power. Now look at verse 10. And I will pour upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and of supplication. And they shall look unto me whom they have pierced, and they shall mourn for him. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But in the coming day, the Lord Jesus is coming back again. And it says, they shall look on him whom they have pierced, and they shall mourn for him. And then also, now, back to Psalm 110. I could read you from chapters 13 and 14 and show you again and again how these
of the house of David, the nation of Israel, shall in that day, in verse 3, thy people offer themselves willingly in the day of thy power. And the day of Christ's power is when he returns in glory with all the holy angels, and they shall mourn for him, and then they shall fight with him. And it says, his people will offer themselves willingly. But when Pilate offered the Lord Jesus to them, they said, away with him, away with him. What shall I do with Jesus? Crucify him. That was in the day of Christ's weakness. But in the day of his power, the people shall offer themselves willingly. And so the Lord Jesus will come forth as a mighty warrior, and he shall be assisted by the revived and by the converted nation of Israel. And these armies shall subdue all the enemies of Israel. And then the command of God, rule thou in the midst of thine enemies, shall come to pass. And so that is what is so remarkable about this psalm, that David saw Christ exalted in heaven at God's right hand, and then he saw 2,000 years later, between verses 1 and 2, the Lord Jesus coming back to destroy his enemies and establish his earthly kingdom. And that is the profundity of this psalm. And David saw it. David, in the Spirit, spake it. And we are to rest upon it, its truth and the certainty that it shall be fulfilled. Time is gone. Let us pray. Now, Father, we are thankful that though we confess our shortcomings, our blindness, our dullness, we are like those Hebrews of whom it said, when by reason of time you ought to be teachers, you have need again that someone teach you. But we are thankful that there were those like David and like Isaiah and Jeremiah who saw these things. Their hearts were illumined. And we pray, Father, that we who are indwelt by the Spirit of God, now that we have these things that they saw and that they've been written for us, that we shall be guided into all truth and we shall see them, and that we shall never listen to man who laughs at us when we speak about the infallible Word of God, but that we shall believe in it as thy Son believed in it, and that our Father, we shall rest assured that just as David saw these things long before they came to pass, and they did come to pass, so we, Father, who read of those things that are yet future, shall rest upon them as already accomplished. So help us, Father, to be encouraged, to be built up upon the foundation of the truth, the impregnability of the Word of God, and let our hearts be immovable, we pray. In the name of Jesus Christ, the Lord. Amen.